Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Gift. If you're with us online, we'd love to say thank you for watching. If you would, go ahead right now and share that you're watching with us, because God is about to do something in this house. Come on, somebody. I said God's about to move. I've been anticipating this moment for a long time, because I know, I have a knowing in the depths of who I am. God is about to move in our house. God's about to move in this place. Come on, somebody. The power and the presence of God is all I want, church. I want the power and the presence of God to change my life. I want the power and the presence of God to change your life. I would love to invite you, if you're able and willing, to stand all across this room to your feet in the presence of an almighty God. And I want to dare you this morning to prepare for a divine appointment. I said I want to dare you to prepare yourself for an encounter with the Son of the Living God. Come on, somebody. I'm about to read God's holy word. It is His infallible, inspired, His inerrant word. And I dare you to prepare yourself this morning. I've been preparing my heart. God, impact my life through the power of your word this morning. I dare you. It's no coincidence. Can I say that? It is not by happenstance that you're in this room this morning. It is not by chance that you're watching with us online. You have been ordered, and your steps have been divinely ordered by God to get you right here for this moment to hear from heaven, and He's about to meet your need this morning. Come on, somebody. I want to experience the power of His presence, church. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, the word of the Lord says this: sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, was a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. It was surrounded by five covered colonnades, and here at this pool, a great number of disabled people used to gather and lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And verse 4 says, from time to time, this is what we're talking about this morning. From time to time, the angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. May God stir us this morning. The angel would stir the waters, and the first one into the pool after each disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. Can I tell you, there's still power to cure every disease in the name of Jesus? Verse 5 says, there was one there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus asked a powerful question. He said, do you want to get well? I don't know about you, but I want to get well. I want the power of God to make me well. Sir, the invalid replied, I've got nobody to help me into the pool. Well, by God, if you're a member of Life Church, if you're a part of our community, you've got somebody that wants to help you into the pool this morning. You've got somebody who wants to guide you and pick you up and show you the way. Come on, somebody. This is a loving church community. But the man said, I've got nobody to help me. When the waters get stirred and I try to get in, someone else always gets ahead of me. Think about this, 38 years. 38 years, and here's what happens. Jesus does not shame him. Come on, somebody. Jesus does not demand that the man try harder. What is your problem? Why aren't you doing this? Why don't you try that? He's not condemning him when the water is stirred. Jesus doesn't tell him, hey, bro, you better stop making excuses. don't know if you've ever experienced that before. That's a form of spiritual abuse, in my opinion. Jesus does none of that. Jesus looks at this man with a heart full of compassion, and look at what he says. He says, get up, take up your mat, and walk. Come on, somebody needs to get up this morning. Somebody needs to pick up your mat. Somebody needs to start walking again. And here's the word of the Lord this morning. At once, the man was cured. At once, he was cured. I said at once, the man was cured, and he picked up his mat, and he walked. And the day on which that took place was a day just like today. It was the Sabbath. Bow your hearts, bow your heads in this holy moment. God, we come to you. We come expecting. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. God, I can't wait to see what you're about to do in us and through us this morning. I have an anticipation, a fervor in my heart that a divine appointment is about to happen. God, I came for a divine appointment this morning. I need you to invade my life, God. I need you to step into my circumstance. Come on, pray with me, church. I need you to make a way where there seems to be no way. I need you to be my ever-present help in time of need. Come on, is anyone with me this morning? I don't want to just play church. I want a divine appointment, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us experience your presence in a fresh manifestation this morning. God, we open up the windows of heaven and we say, come like a mighty rushing wind. May we leave this place this morning forever changed, because we've met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and your word is true, and because of your word, we will be forever changed. And we pray this in the mighty and strong and powerful name, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on, somebody, if you can give God praise as you're being seated. Thank you, Miss AJ. Well, I love you, church. I'm excited. Are y'all ready? Y'all okay? God is good. Amen. See, I believe the waters are stirring this morning. I believe the waters are stirring at Life Church. I believe God is about to do something. I want us to recognize this morning that Jesus was on his way to a party in Jerusalem. Come on. He was on his way to a festival, but here's the deal. Jesus made his way to a place that Jesus did not belong. Jesus was making, that is an important thing that we can't just look over in this passage of Scripture. Jesus made a place, his way to a place that he did not belong. He was intentional because he knew that it was a divine appointment. Come on, somebody. Bethesda was a sad sight, church. I wish I could paint a picture. I've had friends that have been to India and seen the garbage mounds where people live and scavenge for food on a daily basis. And I've had pastor friends of mine that have went on missions trips to India, and they've said, Pastor, there's no way to adequately describe it. You can only be there and see it with your own eyes. And I think Bethesda, it was probably something like the homeless communities that we see when we're driving on the interstate. Anybody have seen those before, where there's tent communities where multiple homeless people come together and they try to shelter with one another? Anybody with me this morning? You've seen that. It breaks my heart. Every time I see that, I was so pleased to partner with our Montessori school last semester to go and just feed people that were in that situation. And it was so life-giving to experience that those people are real people. They have a soul in need of a Savior, and they have physical, tangible needs. That's what I believe Bethesda looked like. Bethesda was a place for the lame. It was a place for homelessness. It was where people with little hope went. And I need you to see, Bethesda was no place for the Son of God. It was not a place where he belonged. But Bethesda was for the blind. Come on, somebody. It was where beggars gathered to beg. Bethesda was for cripples, the scripture says. It was for those that were down and out. Come on. Bethesda was for hopeless people. And yet, in my Bible, it was where Jesus went. Come on, somebody. Bethesda was a place that everyone without any friends gathered. This guy was there for 38 years, and yet he still had the testimony, every time the water stirs, I've got nobody. Nobody to help me. And Jesus went on his way to Jerusalem for a festival, but Jesus intentionally went to a place that he did not belong. Come on, I came to preach this morning. Some of us think that Jesus has no place in my life. I've got no room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a type of person that Jesus avoids. Can I tell you that's incorrect? Jesus goes for those that need him the most. Jesus, the miracle-working Son of the living God, the creator and the general of angel armies. Come on, somebody. He is the Prince of Peace and the picture of perfection. He was going to Bethesda, right where the people who had no hope were. So if you came this morning hopeless and helpless, God is on his way. He's on his way intentionally. He was going to Bethesda because people needed a miracle. If you need a miracle this morning, I'm excited. God's going to do it. God's going to meet you. Jesus was doing something that Jesus still does to this day. Jesus was intentionally creating a holy moment where heaven meets earth. Church, can I tell you that God is still in the miracle working business? He was creating a holy moment where heaven meets earth. Jesus was initiating what I like to call a divine appointment, church. I wonder if you've ever had a divine appointment where God invaded your life in a tangible way. Anyone with me this morning? I've been changed forever. My heart has been changed. See, I believe so much in this world. So much would change in the church. Come on, somebody. So much would change in the Church of America if we truly anticipated a divine appointment every time we gathered and came to church. Something would happen. Something would shift in the supernatural. If we walked through the doors of the church expecting God to meet us every time we came to gather, God would pour out his presence in a profound way in the Church of Jesus Christ. See, I believe something significant would happen if we actually expected Jesus today. If we got a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, my Bible says that we will be filled. Come on, somebody. Services all across the nation would be fundamentally different if we really believe that when two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, he will be right there in our midst. And I see many, many more than two or three. And we're gathered together in the name of Jesus. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is in our midst right now. Get that in your spirit this morning, because he is a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's right there. We just got to know it and believe it. People would act differently if we believed and anticipated a divine appointment. See, I was thinking about it, and people act differently when they know someone important's in the room. You ever experienced that before? Somebody walks in and you know they're a millionaire. You're like, wait a second, he got some money. Hey, I better rub shoulders with that guy. Here's what happens when a judge walks into a room. Have you ever been to court? I hope not. If you've ever been to court, when a judge walks into the room, the bailiff says, all rise. And everyone has to stand at attention as the judge of authority walks into the room. If a celebrity walked into the room, y'all know somebody famous walked into the doors of our church, y'all know we'd be pulling out our phones, taking a selfie. They're not even looking. They're not even paying us any attention, but look who I got with. Look at what. I'm praying for the divine appointment when I run into Shaquille O'Neal, church. Come on, somebody. I'm going to run into him, and y'all better believe I'm going to say, Shaq, I will put your face on half court on our Family Life Center. We'll call it the Shaquille O'Neal Family Life Center. I don't care. You fund it. We'll do it. Let's do this, Shaq. I love your community. You love my community. Let's partner together. Hallelujah. Right? We change when a celebrity walks in the room. Some of y'all have had that experience where Shaq walks in and pays for everybody's meal. It's powerful. Something changes. When the doors open at a wedding and the bride starts to walk down the aisle, everybody stands and looks. Wow. All attention goes to her. What a sight to be seen. The bride is going to her bridegroom. It's a powerful moment. I've had kids, this is fun as a parent, because I've had kids who stop exactly what they're doing as soon as I walk into the room, and I know for a fact, y'all up to no good right now. Can I get a witness, all my parents in the room? As soon as we walk in, it's whoop. What once was loud is now quiet. What are y'all up to? Huh? I used to be a student pastor for 17 years, and I'd walk up to groups of students, and as soon as I'd walk up, the whole place would be silent. We ain't talking about nothing, Pastor. Some of them would actually intentionally leave. I ain't talking to that guy. Oh, student ministry's tough. Pray for Bree. Church, I promise you, I want you to hear me this morning. I promise you, revival would break loose in our community if we expected a divine appointment. Revival would break loose if we expected a divine appointment with Jesus every time we gather here. Every time we come together to worship, Jesus is going to move. Every time we come to raise our hands in worship, my Bible says that when he is lifted up, he inhabits the praises of his people. If we expect him to move every time, revival is inevitable. If we expect it, as we dig into God's word this morning, I came to preach. I hope y'all are ready. I came to preach because I hope some of y'all came to help me preach. I'm grateful that my amen section is back from out of town because I need somebody to help me preach this morning because I came to spur on the people of the living God this morning. I came to fan into flame the revival fire that Jesus wants for Life Church. He wants for McDonough, Georgia. He wants for our community. Come on, somebody. Introducing today's message. Y'all get ready. I came to remind somebody that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he walks in the room, we should change. When the King of Kings walks into the room, it should cause us to come to attention. When the Lord of Lords comes, we should be ready for him to do what only the King of Kings can do. Come on, somebody. The Jesus I serve has every ability to walk through a closed, even locked door. He can walk through it like they were waiting in the upper room, scared to death of the Roman government. Jesus walked in and said, hey, y'all, peace be with you. Y'all want to feel my nail-scarred hands? It's okay. I'm alive. They could kill you, but they can't kill you because I am the resurrection and the life. Come on, somebody. Jesus is still the Jesus that walks on the water when the storm is raging and he walks up and says, hey, why y'all afraid? I'm with you. When I'm in the boat, you don't need to worry. Come on, somebody. That's the Jesus I still serve. The Jesus I serve is likely to walk in like on the road to Emmaus, even when we are walking in the wrong direction, giving up on the very calling that God has called us to, and we're going in the wrong direction. My Jesus will start strolling with us on that road, and we might not even realize that he's there, but he will come up on us and say, you know what? Let me tell you about myself a little bit. And finally, it's going to fall like a brick and say, boom, I am the resurrection. I am the lover of your soul. I love you. A divine appointment is what my Jesus does. Come on, somebody. See, I serve the Jesus that can honor the faith of a man that says, just say the word. Just say the word and I know it'll be done because you're a man of authority. You're a man of purpose. But Jesus is also the one who will kick all the naysayers out of the room. And he'll say, hey, Peter and John, come with me. Let's go upstairs and kick all the flutists and the tambourines, the mourners, the criers. Kick them all out of the room. And in the instant, he gets everybody, the atmosphere is set, and he begins to pray, and he says, Talitha kamu, which means get up. And a dead little girl that had been dead for some time begins to get up because he is the resurrection and the life. And by God, that little girl, when she got up out of her bed, she said, I'm hungry. Jesus said, y'all better get this girl something to eat. Come on, somebody. That's the Jesus I serve. See, my Bible still teaches me this morning in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means if he set up divine appointments in the New Testament, he's setting up divine appointments in 7:22:22. Come on, somebody. I've got a divine appointment set because my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wish somebody would get it in your spirit. A divine appointment's coming for you. So that means nothing ordinary. There is nothing ordinary. Nothing ordinary about what we're doing right now. There's nothing normal about what we're doing as a church right now. This should not be normal. This should be supernatural. We are in the presence of a living God. I said we're in the presence of a living God, church. He is here. He's here and he's worthy. We're gathered in the name of Jesus, and that means divine appointments are in motion for your life. It's set in motion. Somebody, I believe it. I've been praying for it. I've interceded for it. Somebody is about to get an infusion of hope in your life right now. You walked in hopeless. God's about to give you hope in Jesus' name. Someone is about to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Somebody's going to reach out and touch it. And in that moment, that divine appointment, it's been a long time coming. You've been given as much as you can to try to get well. You're going to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and power is going to be released. Power is going to be released because the healing flow of the Holy Spirit is still available to us today. Come on, somebody. I declare right now in the name of Jesus, demonic mindsets are leaving right now. In the name of Jesus, depression has no authority in this house. Praise God. I declare that Jesus is breaking depression over our lives right now in this moment. Bondages are being replaced with freedom because he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, somebody. We've gathered and there's two or three in his name. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, church. Oh, I feel his presence this morning. I feel his anointing this morning. I wonder who came to church not to play games today. I wonder if there's anyone who came with a purpose to have a divine appointment with the lover of your soul. Here's what I believe, church. I came to preach. People would swarm to the church if every time we gathered, there was an anticipation of a divine appointment. People would come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. There'd be hillbillies in this place. There'd be gangsters in this place. There would be the rich and the poor would flood to this place because people would swarm if we, the people of God, would get an anticipation every time we walk through these doors. God's going to meet us. God's going to change us. Anointing of heaven fall in this place right now. See, I plan to be obedient to say exactly what Jesus asked me to say when I preach from this pulpit. God sent me this morning to say this. If we could fully grasp, come on, somebody, if we could fully grasp, if we could fully comprehend who it is that we're in the presence of right now, if we really understood, oh my God, the one who breathed life into me is by my side in this moment, it would change everything. It would change us. It would change the way we live. It would change the way we talk. It would change the way we walk. Come on, somebody. I came to preach. We are gathered in the name of Jesus, and that means Jesus is here right now. The Prince of Peace. I dare somebody to honor the name of Jesus right now. We honor you, Jesus. We lift up your name. You're holy. You're worthy. You're honored in this place, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, he is the lily of the valley, church. Come on, somebody. He is a friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. Hallelujah. He is our ever-present help in time of need. At the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Hallelujah. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the meek and the lowly, the humble servant and the good shepherd. And praise God, he's the Lion of Judah, ready to roar. In his presence, church, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, demons have to flee. Strongholds have to break. Bondages are released at the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody help me preach. We're in the presence of the wonder-working God of this universe. At his words, if we could only grasp, if we could only comprehend that at his word, the heavens were formed with a breath. It was so powerful that the galaxies were placed exactly where they needed to be in the sky with a breath, because it is just at his breath that the heavens were released. My Bible tells me that the hills melt like wax at the presence of my God. We're in the presence of God right now, church. We're in his presence, the presence of Jesus, right now. In your own way, right now, just thank him. Thank you for your presence, God. We don't deserve it. But God, thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being a man of your word. Thank you, Lord. See, church, I'm here unashamedly to proclaim I don't want a religious church. I don't want to lead a religious church and preach an entertaining message. I don't want to just make you laugh and give you enough energy for the day so that by the time Monday comes, you're drained again. I want a church that we lead that is full of the power and presence of God. I came to have this morning a divine appointment. A divine appointment. I said I want a divine appointment. Get that in your spirit this morning. In fact, I need a divine appointment. I can't do this without him, Jesus. The universe, the God of this universe will forever change me if I just recognize that he's here. See, each and every week, I pray, I anticipate, I intercede, I gather our staff every day. We ask God, will you fall in this place? Will you move in this church? Every week, I anticipate a move of the Spirit in this church, and I look forward to seeing heaven invade earth. Can I tell you, last week, after service, I got to sit with a man who told me, Pastor, my life is forever changed. I was so addicted to alcohol that I woke up in the morning and started drinking. But praise God, just after a few months of being under your teaching and being in the presence of God and actually establishing a right relationship with my Lord and Savior, the desire for alcohol has left me. I don't want it anymore. I'm free. God is up to something. It was a divine appointment, and I'm thankful for that. If nobody else gets excited, I'm going to preach myself happy this morning. See, I came this morning to say, if you came in this room lonely, I came to remind you that loneliness is God's cry for intimacy with you. He loves you so much, and that feeling, God, I'm so lonely, I don't have friends, nobody is here to help me in the water. Man, that's God crying out to you that he loves you, he wants you, he wants a relationship with you. If you came hurting this morning, full of anxiety about your future, he is the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. I pray over your lives, may the God of peace, the peace of God that surpasses our understanding, may it rest and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, because he is a giver of peace. Come on, somebody. If you came broken this morning, he is the God that makes something out of nothing. Come on, somebody. If you've got nothing left, I'm so broken, Pastor, that I got nothing to give. Can I tell you, God can make something out of your life? Because he spoke something out of nothing. That's what he does. That's all it takes is a divine appointment, church. See, if you came sick, praise God, I came to proclaim by his stripes, you can be made whole in the name of Jesus. If you came in sad or discouraged, he wants to be the lifter of your head, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, somebody help me this morning. If you came broke as a joke and your ends are not meeting, can I tell you, we serve a God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. If you came the mountain of failure and regret and the guilt and the shame is weighing you down, he wants to throw your sin into a sea of forgetfulness. Come on, and wash you in grace and love and purpose. This week, the Holy Spirit reminded me of three examples. Y'all are saying, what? We're just getting started. Three examples, three profound meetings, and I promise I'll make it succinct. Three divine appointments, church. In God's word to remind us that we should anticipate, we should, dare I say, expect divine appointments today. The first was the Pool of Bethesda, which we just read about. The next, if you've got your Bibles, in Acts chapter 3, it's a place called, the gate called Beautiful. And it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. Very specific time, 3 p.m. It was when they prayed. It was when the temple was open. Now a man who was lame from birth. We have a guy 38 years. And now we have a grown man that was lame from birth being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. See, I think Jesus is trying to get us his attention. He's saying, look at me. Come on, somebody, look at me. Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Don't miss that. I'm just going to, for emphasis, read that. The man looked at them, gave him their attention, expecting to get something. Something changes when you expect, church. The man expected to get something from them. I'm going to repeat it one more time for emphasis. The man expected. He expected to get something from Peter and John. I can't help but remind us what I preached a couple weeks ago. Our expectation precedes the supernatural, church. It precedes the supernatural. Divine appointments are connected with or coupled to our expectation. Can I tell you that you're probably going to get what you expect? If you expect, well, God doesn't like me, God doesn't heal me, God doesn't have hope for me, God doesn't want to be in right relationship with me, can I tell you that's probably what you're going to get? But you say, no, my God loves me unconditionally. He looks at me, like Robbie said, not through the lens of my failures, but he looks at me through the lens of the blood of Jesus. My God loves me. See, we will get what we expect. So if we expect God to move, then praise God, I know God's going to move because he wants it even more than we do. Jesus said, if we have faith to say to this mountain, be thou removed, then praise God, it will be removed. But we got to have the faith to expect. The story continues, and Peter said powerful words that ring in our ears because we've heard this often. Silver and gold, I don't have any on me. The Greek basically translates it to, it wasn't Peter admitting that he was broke. He was basically saying in the Greek, I don't got anything on me. Y'all experienced that before? Where somebody's asked you for money and you want to genuinely help, but you got nothing in your pocket at that moment. That's exactly what happened. Silver and gold, it's not on me right now, but praise God what I do have. What I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Get up and walk. And taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and instantly, a man that had never walked before a day in his life, the man's feet and his ankles became strong. He jumped up on his feet and began to walk again. And then he went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God because he had an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, this grown man who had never walked a day in his life, all he knew was a debilitating, crippled life. All he knew, for years he suffered. I'm trying to paint a picture because some of us have experienced this type of picture. For years he begged. For years he was humiliated. For years he questioned why. That terrible question, why, God, why am I dealing with this right now? Some of you are asking right now, God, why am I suffering with this right now? For years he questioned why he had to lead a life of pain. And scripture said he was lame from birth, and yet in an instant, in a moment, in a divine appointment, he became strong and jumped to his feet, jumping and praising God. And church, this teaches you and it teaches me, a lifetime of pain can be healed with one divine appointment with Jesus. I want that. Give that to me. A lifetime of pain, disappointment, suffering, a lifetime, just one moment, can be healed if we get a divine appointment with Jesus. Oh, I feel his presence on that. God, would you heal us? Some of us have been dealing with stuff for way too long, and it's time. It's time for an appointment. It's time to step up and say, you know what, God, I'm tired of this. I'm done dealing with this. This isn't in my notes, but I remember a moment where I was having nightmares as a young kid. My father was in the ministry preaching like I am, and I was 11, maybe 10, 8 years old, somewhere in there. I was a young kid, and I started having nightmares, and things would manifest in my room, and it would scare me half to death. And I would yell in the middle of the night, Dad, because I was frightened as a little boy. I didn't know what was going on, but it was something called spiritual warfare, because the enemy hated what my dad was doing, and he knew that the one way he could mess with my dad was to go after his kids. And so I was terrified. Night after night, it wasn't every night, but consistently I would have nightmares, and my dad would come, and as soon as my dad's hand would touch the doorknob, immediately the images that I saw, the manifestation that I saw would disperse and leave immediately because the authority of the house walked in. And I would cry and I would ask my dad, will you stay with me? Just stay with me. Help me fall asleep, Dad. He'd pray over me. And night after night, this would happen. But church, what happened after a few months of this ongoing thing, I promise I'm not crazy. I'm real. I'm just a real person telling you a real story. I'm not fabricating this. I remember it vividly. There was a night where I saw the images and I was terrified again one more time, and I screamed out for my father, and my dad came in the room. But this was the night that my dad got fed up. My dad got tired of this mamby-pamby, oh, Jesus, will you please? No, he got a fight in him, and he got a warfare in his spirit, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. And he cast the thing that was in the room out, and he said, I will not stand for this. And he got authority, and he had a high calling on his life to call down heaven, and he said, we come to you, Jesus, and bring peace. And he fought. And that was the last time I ever saw a thing, because God answered that fervent prayer. Church, I came this morning to say, if we expect God to move, then God will move. Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give to you. Get up and walk. Praise God. A lifetime of pain can be healed. In one moment, one divine appointment with Jesus. One moment with Jesus will change everything about us, church. See, I hope you feel the presence of God in this place when you come every Sunday. See, something special. I believe this. I know this in my spirit because God is revealing it to me, and I sense it so strongly. I believe it with all my heart. Something special that is supernatural that can only be explained. Look at what God did. Is about to happen in this church. That is from heaven. In Jesus' name, something's about to break. In Jesus' name, something's about to break. In Jesus' name, revival's about to break. In Jesus' name, see, hallelujah. Pastor Robbie last week preached how we're friends of God. The creator God of this universe calls us friend. We deserve to be servants. And yet Jesus calls us into his inner circle. Robbie said it very clearly in John 15:15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. Instead, I've called you friends. I've let you into the circle for everything that I learned from my Father. I've made known to you. Jesus was saying, look at what happens when a divine appointment comes. These things that I do, you will do even greater. You're going to do even greater. See, how many are grateful that Jesus has called you friend this morning? Come on, somebody. How many are grateful? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Come on, somebody. And as this series has been unfolding, I've realized, yes, it's a series on relationships, but here's the real focus. Here's the real emphasis. Yes, we need good interpersonal relationships, but the focus really is Jesus. The focus is on Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, church. I want to love people like Jesus loves people. I want to be strong in difficult circumstances like Jesus was strong in difficult circumstances. I want to be gentle with people like Jesus was gentle with people. I want to influence others like Jesus influenced others. When I speak, I want crowds to listen because I've got good news. It's not my word. It's God's word. It's the word of God. And I want to be, most of all, I want to be in the presence of Jesus as much as I possibly can because I love him. I'm addicted to the presence of God. I'm hungry for divine appointments. Church, come on, somebody. God sent me this morning to say this. Most appointments don't happen by chance. They don't happen by chance. Most meaningful appointments are planned. It's planned. Our worship pastor in Columbus, when we served our last assignment for 5.5 years, our worship pastor used to say to her team every Sunday, "We are planning for a move of the Spirit. We are planning for a move of the Spirit." Friday, Jubilee and I took a friend out to celebrate their birthday because the week before, by God, we planned it. We made a plan. We put it on our calendar. Can I just say, we had a fun night. It was a good time. We had fellowship around a great meal because we took initiative to communicate more than a week before, and we anticipated celebrating together. We look forward to it. Our relationship with Jesus is no different. Our walk with the Lord is no different. Someone once said, if you don't have a plan, then you're planning to fail. That's the problem with our church, not our church, but the church at large. We have stopped planning for a move of the Spirit. Jesus always had a plan. Jesus always knew where he was going. He knew when he needed to get there, and he knew how fast he needed to go in order to be on time. Come on, somebody. He knew that some of y'all who stroll in 15, 20 minutes late to service might want to get a hold of that. Jesus was an on-time God. Come on, somebody. We do things with punctuality because we plan for a move of the Spirit. If all of us, AJ said it in worship, if we all get in one accord in worship, the ringing in the community's ear would be so loud because what is reverberating from that church? Come on, somebody. We plan. Jesus had a plan. He knew what to say. He knew whom he would say it to. Come on, somebody. He was intentional about relationships. And this morning, God has placed it on my heart to preach about divine appointments, because divine appointments are what change lives. It's what really changes us. I don't know about you, but every time I come into this house to worship, every time I come in this house to pray, I am desperate to meet with Jesus. Desperate. I don't want to play games. I'm not here for a show. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here to be loved. I'm not here to grow a name for myself. I am here for the power of his presence. I want revival, church. I want to see people who are broken and lost and lonely come. This needs to be a hospital for the broken. I want to see his kingdom come. Come on, somebody. I don't know who else is with me, but I'm believing for divine appointments. I'm believing for a divine appointment this morning, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Come on, somebody. I'm met with him right here and right now, so he's here with me. So why not now? Why not now? I want my life to change for the better now, because I've lived enough life to know that the only way that happens is Jesus. The only way something significant shifts is Jesus. And I've come to the point where I'm comfortable with the reality that I need Jesus. I need him. You're a pastor. You're supposed to be with Jesus. Yeah, and I still need him every day of my life. I need him. I have yet to arrive, church. Come on, somebody. I am still a man in need of a Savior. I knew the condition of my heart before, and I know the condition. He has changed me and transformed me. He's taken me out of the muck and the mire and set my feet on a solid rock, but I still need him today. I still need him. Why? Because there's still areas I need to grow. There's still places I need to change. There's still some mountains in my life that I need moved in the name of Jesus. And every time I encounter Jesus, every time I have a divine appointment with my Lord and my Savior, my life gets better. My life grows. Divine appointments change our lives, church. See, I remember the day I met my wife. Y'all remember that? I know y'all weren't there. But if you've got a spouse or somebody that you're in a relationship, I remember vividly, she walked into the room and I said, "Hello. Who is that? Can I get your number?" Because that's when we actually didn't use superficial social media. We actually called somebody and talked to them. We actually had the boldness as men to step up and say, "Hey, how you doing? We've got a society now full of sissies that are scared. I'm calling the men and the boys of this church to step up and be men. You're called to be a man. You're called to pursue. Girls should not be pursuing boys. Come on, students, listen to me. If you're a female student of our church, do not give any boy the time of day, because they should have the courage. I want to say a different word, but they should have the courage to step up and pursue you. That does not apply to my daughter, because ain't nobody dating her. I remember the day I met Jubilee. I remember the day I witnessed her give her heart to Jesus. She was addicted. She was oppressed. She was in Doc Martin combat boots and black fishnet hose with a mini skirt, purple hair, black lipstick, loving Satan, doing things that nobody should be doing. Hotel parties, I'll stop right there. She always gets, you always tell my business. She was as lost as anyone could be. And I watched when the love of God invaded her heart and melted her down to the person God created her to be. And I'll never forget, because when she came up out of that prayer moment, that divine appointment, she said, Jesus, I've seen friends go back and forth. I never want to be the same. And from that day forward, she's loved Jesus with all of her heart. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the moment where I was interning as a freshman in college in the student ministry that I've been mentored and developed in myself for four years. And it was the one Wednesday night where I was the leader on the stage in front of 250 students, making a fool out of myself, making the whole place laugh. I was doing, I don't know if y'all remember Mad TV, but there was this skit on Mad TV of this guy named Stuart, and he was a grown man that acted like a baby. He was like, let me do it. Just let me do it. And I was trying, making people laugh just like that. I was, just let me do it. Come on. And I literally had a shirt wrapped around myself like a diaper. I looked like a fool. And that was the night where the woman of my dreams walked in and was watching me, and she's like, wow, look at him. He's an idiot. But I'll never forget, because that silliness, that situation where I thought to myself, why is she here? That led to a conversation afterwards. It's like, hey, see how much I love Jesus? I'll do anything for Jesus. Come on. I love Jesus. You want to go on a date right now? She goes, no. But I'll never forget it, because divine appointments change our lives. See, all of us who are parents, we're never going to forget the first day your first child was born. Or your next. The first day Damien was born, after 27 hours of labor, he popped out and looked at us like, what in the world are y'all doing? I'll never forget the look on his face. It was hilarious. I'll never forget when we were moving to McDonough, Georgia, almost 3 years ago. A realtor friend of mine in Columbus had connected us with a realtor to help us find a home here in McDonough. And after a couple days, this realtor had blown us off multiple times. We'd try to see homes and they wouldn't be available to us. So we called our friend in Columbus, and she called a regional manager in the Coldwell Banker office. And it ended up being a divine appointment, because God knew that 3 years ago we would start a relationship as clients with Raymond Jordan Jr. and then progress a little further. We grow in relationship and begin to communicate and talk with one another. He started watching us online, because at the beginning it was a rough start, because praise God, COVID hit. It was tough, but he'd watch with us online, and little by little we started working out together. And little did we know, 3 years ago when we had that phone call, it was a divine appointment that 2 weeks ago I would have the honor and privilege to marry he and his wife at this altar, because God changes lives with divine appointments. I was praying and interceding for what God wants to do in us and through us this morning, and I felt the Spirit of God drop this so clearly in my spirit. If you came to church needing a time of refreshing, a divine appointment's waiting. If you need it, if you came this morning because you need a divine encounter with the lover of your soul, he's about to reveal to you how deep and how wide and how great his affection is for you. If you're tired and heavy burdened, he came to refresh your life. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I've come to inspire you and motivate you and spur you. Keep moving, keep pressing forward. Don't give up yet, because heaven is about to fall in this room. In fact, heaven is in the room already. Theologically, we know that to be true. God sent me this morning to proclaim refreshing comes through relationship, and relationship comes through communication, and communication comes through the courage to connect. I want to invite the band to come as we close. Nick, if you don't mind coming to play. There was the divine appointment with the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda. There was the divine appointment with Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful. And the third divine appointment God sent me to share about was the woman Jesus chased down at the well. John chapter 4, starting in verse 3, it says, Jesus left Judea, and he went back once more to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, as tired, listen to that, as tired as he was from the journey, Jesus sat down by the well at about noontime. Jesus was tired. He was a real man. Most of us are tired too in this room. I'm not oblivious to that fact. Life is tiring. Many of us are more tired than you would admit. Most of us are tired. We're tired of recession. Come on, somebody. We're tired of inflation. We're tired of gas prices. We're tired of social injustice. Come on, somebody. We're tired of gun violence in our schools. We're tired of traffic. Can I get a witness? Henry County traffic is terrible. There's very real reasons that drain us, rob us of our joy, steal the fuel in our fire. But let's get real this morning. Many of us in this room, those are all exterior. But many of us in this room, we're tired of the internal struggle. If we're honest with ourselves, many in the room are tired of being imperfect. You set a standard for yourself of perfection, and every time you fall short, you hate yourself a little more, and you're tired. Many of us in the room are tired of battling the negative thoughts that every day the enemy puts it back in your mind, those hateful, negative, torturous thoughts. And you're tired that even though you try to push them out as best as you can, they always seem to resurface. And if you're honest with yourself this morning, you're tired. You're tired of feeling that. Many of us are tired of the roller coaster lifestyle. I hate the roller coaster when at one point in life everything seems up here and then the next it's all down here. And we are on this roller coaster where it's wearing you out. Many of us feel like Jesus must be tired of dealing with us. Man, I messed up again. I failed you again. I stopped being consistent again. I stopped being in your word again. I stopped praying again. I stopped believing again. Jesus, you've got to be tired of me. But Jesus sent me this morning to remind somebody, if that's you in any level, Jesus never gets too tired to spend time with the people who need him the most. Oh God, that's good this morning. Jesus never gets too tired. He was tired, but where was he? He was at the well. At 12 o'clock noon, because he knew who was coming. Jesus was tired from the journey, Oh God, and then it happened. Watch this. Jesus, being the all-knowing creator of all things, the same Jesus that could know people's thoughts even if they didn't say a word. Jesus being the good shepherd that seeks and saves that which is lost and leaves the 99 to go after the one. Jesus sat down by the well, understanding the precise time a certain individual would come looking for water. The scripture says this, a Samaritan woman, oh, she was someone special because she had a divine appointment with Jesus. A Samaritan woman came to draw water and Jesus said to her, hey, can you give me a drink? His disciples had gone to buy food and the woman said to him, wait a second, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't mix. We don't talk with one another. And I love what Jesus says. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus, one more time, is saying, if we only knew. If we only knew who we were in the presence of. See, here's the deal, church. The world is full of thirsty people. Thirsty people looking for satisfaction. There's many meanings behind that word, but we're thirsty. We're a thirsty people. We're thirsty for compliments. Come on. We're thirsty for validation. We're thirsty for attention. We're thirsty for companionship. We're thirsty for success. We're thirsty for recognition and accolades. And the Samaritan woman was thirsty. And Jesus knew exactly where she was and where she would be and how she felt. He knew her circumstance and he said, if you only knew who it was you're talking to, you'd ask for a drink and I'd give you living water. The story continues, sir, the woman said, you've got nothing to draw with. This doesn't compute. This doesn't make sense, because that's what we do in our culture today is, wait a second, I hear you, pastor, but it doesn't make sense. What do you have that can help me? Because I don't see it. The woman said, you've got nothing to draw with. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who made this well to drink from himself, as did his sons and his livestock? And Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty. Religion will make you thirsty. Mundane will make you thirsty. A dried up spirit will make you thirsty. But whoever drinks from the water that I give you will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will come up from them like a spring, like a well welling up within them to eternal life. And the woman said, sir, I want that. Give me that. Can I please have some of that? That's what I want, church. The Samaritan woman was so captivated, what seemed like a different encounter. After a few short exchanges with Jesus, she began to recognize that there was, in fact, something different. She was beginning to recognize that she was in the middle of a divine appointment. She said, give me that water. I'm thirsty. I need that. I wonder if you're tired of the routine. I wonder if you're tired of the routine. Come to the well and get temporarily filled. Come to the well of this world and get temporarily filled and leave and just get slowly drained as life continues on. Many of us know that life way too well. We know it way too well. The routine is getting old. I'm a nerd, so I like Lord of the Rings. And I think immediately of Bilbo Baggins, where he said, I feel thin. I feel like I'm stretched like butter scraped over too much bread. Any Lord of the Rings fans in the house? I'm tired. Many of us are in that space right now. You're tired. You're stretched thin. God sent me to say, if work is overwhelming, you need a divine appointment. Come on, somebody. If your marriage is in a dry season, then you need a divine appointment. If what used to fulfill you doesn't satisfy your soul anymore and you need more, you need a divine appointment. If you are holding on for dear life and if one more thing goes wrong, you don't know if you can maintain your sanity, you need a divine appointment. You need the living water that only Jesus can provide this morning. Thank you, God. Jesus asks her a question that he had prepared from the foundation of the world. After she says, I want that, he said, go get your husband. Many of you know the story. She says, sir, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yeah, that's right. The man you're living with is not your husband either. And the previous five men, those relationships that had failed, those five husbands and the man you're not with, the man you're with now is not your husband either. He lovingly and prophetically spoke to the depths of her soul. In essence, he communicated to the Samaritan woman, I know exactly what you've done. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you're going through. I care about you. Nothing is hidden from me in this moment, and I still am right here. I'm right here, and I still want to be in your life. And in fact, I'm here on purpose because I came just for you. Oh, that's for somebody this morning. It's for many of us this morning. See, he doesn't demand her compliance because of his position. He doesn't say, oh, if you knew who I was, you better straighten up. No, he says, no, I know you intimately. Even before you know me, I know you. He doesn't force her to bow down because he's the King of Kings. Watch this, church. Jesus captures her attention and values her heart by relating to her at her deepest need. Pam told me this morning, I've never had a church treat me this way. Love on me and care about me, pray for me, lift me up. You know what I said? I said, that's a shame. That's a shame. Because we should care. I know that she's concerned. Church, we need to pray that Thursday's scan comes clear because God is healing her body of cancer in Jesus' name. I want a divine appointment. I don't want to have another funeral in this church because of cancer in the name of Jesus. I want to meet people at their deepest need and care with compassion. I want to see kids in our community that have nothing come and say, wow, look at all that's available to us. And we can give them soccer. Yeah, that's great. We can give them snacks and we can do a party at the end of the season. But the best thing we can do is love them at their need. The story says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town. Oh, she said to all of her friends, come see a man that knows everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Oh, I think it is. And she gathered everyone. Come see the man who cared about me for me. He didn't want to force himself on me. He wanted to love himself into my life. I want to invite you to stand all across this room, and I dare you right now in this holy moment, I want to invite all the elders of the church, the prayer warriors, Jennifer, Ryan, if you can get up here with your gimp knee, get up here and pray for people. Thank you, Jesus, for his recovery. But I'm setting a mood right now that there's already people at this altar ready to pray because they know they came to church with an expectation, an anticipation, a knowing that God was going to do something powerful and profound in this holy moment. So right now, we're about to have a divine appointment, church. They're going to lead us in worship, and I promise you, you came to church and you're in a difficult position in your life. You're hurting. There's things that you need Jesus to make a way where there seems to be no way. The first and foremost, he can love you into this. He wants to love you, not condemn you. There's nothing shameful about coming to an altar call. I think the culture of the Church of Jesus Christ needs to shift, that it should be expected that God's chosen people respond to an altar. It should be anticipation that God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. So I'm going to pray, and I know there's a great number of needs in this room. I dare you to make an appointment. Just like the woman at the well. Just like Peter and John with the beggar at the gate called Beautiful. Just like Jesus walked up to the crippled man at Bethesda. Make a divine appointment, and I dare you. I know God wants to do something. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have been under your word this morning. Your word is true, and your word is life. And so, God, right now, I pray that faith would arise in this house. Right now, I pray that we would get our eyes off of our circumstance and we would get our eyes fixed on the author and the perfecter of our faith. God, that right now, there would be a faith to know that we can meet with you and you can do all things because you're God Almighty. So right now, we open up this altar for those that need a divine appointment, for those that say, I can't do this without you, Jesus, for those who say, I need a manifestation of power. God, I need a miracle. I need you to break through. God, I need revival. I need this in my life. If that's you this morning, Jesus wants to meet you at this altar and cause a miracle to happen. So God, we pray for your spirit to fall. We pray for your power to manifest. We pray for signs and wonders to take place. God, we pray for healing because healing is available to those that believe. Nothing is impossible for those that believe. So Father, right now, we pray, have your way for those that want an appointment with you. In Jesus' name, if you want to pray, come quickly as we worship.